The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
As we continue today's show, Merle Smith represents the people of District 67 in the South Carolina House of Representatives. Last spring, he was elected by his House colleagues as the 61st Speaker of the South Carolina House. It's an honor to have on our guest line Speaker Smith, who's joining us today. Mr. Speaker, welcome and good morning to you.
Well, thank you. Glad, appreciate you having me and look forward to talking to you. Glad to be a part of your Greenville audience.
Sure thing. Yesterday, you were in Greenville for our first Monday Club, and we appreciate you continuing. It's sort of become a tradition that the speaker come up to Greenville and be at our first Monday, the first meeting of the year. So thank you for that. And again, congratulations on being elected speaker by your colleagues.
Well, I appreciate it. It's an honor to serve the citizens of South Carolina, and more importantly, it's an honor to serve citizens in Sumter County who have elected me. And fortunately for me, I had a much easier path than Kevin McCarthy to the speaker's race earlier in December of this year. But nonetheless, you know, it really is an honor of my life to be elected by my colleagues and you know, from all areas of the state and all political spectrums to represent them and to lead them in South Carolina. So, you know, I hope I understand the awesome responsibility that they've entrusted in me. And, you know, I hope I can fulfill their expectations.
Yeah, you certainly did make it look easy compared to what we witnessed last week, for sure. On Friday, I had the pleasure of spending a few minutes with your colleague across the aisle, President of the Senate, Thomas Alexander. And, of course, we had just learned the day before about the decision of the South Carolina Supreme Court striking down the fetal heartbeat bill, which now means South Carolina's previous ban at 20 weeks stays in place for now. I asked President Alexander, and I want to ask you the same question. Were you surprised with the court's decision?
I was very surprised. When you look at the issues that were framed before the court, it was basically that there was a right to privacy placed in the Constitution. It was a right to privacy back in from Governor West when he was in the Senate. It's called the West Commission, and they looked at issues related to wiretapping and eavesdropping as a result of the J. Edgar Hoover tapes and eavesdropping revelations back in the late 60s, early 70s. So you know, I had a confidence that that Supreme Court justices were going to look at the purpose of the constitutional amendment for privacy and see that was not to be extrapolated out into some privacy where you have a right to an abortion, but unfortunately they did, and I was a little shocked. And you know, I put out a statement at that point, and you know, I sincerely mean this: the Supreme Court, the justices, current justices of the Supreme Court, reviewed Roe v. Wade and said that this was creating a right where none was enumerated in the United States Constitution. And if people want to have a right to abortion, then it needs to be passed down to the states through their elected representatives to make that determination. And yeah, what we found here is that the Supreme Court of South Carolina went and supplanted their opinions and expanded a right where none exists and allowed this. And again, you know, this should be determined by the people of the state of South Carolina through their elected representatives, not by five justices of the Supreme Court.
Yeah. On our guest line this morning, Speaker Merle Smith of the South Carolina House. We heard from Governor McMaster, Attorney General Alan Wilson, and in the dissenting opinion written by Justice John Kittredge, they all agreed that they believe the court exceeded its authority. Do you agree with that assessment?
I do agree with it. And, you know, the two things is, you know, Justice Kittredge and then another justice from Sumter County, Justice George James, they both wrote very good opinions. They were very restrained opinions. They went back and reviewed the reasons and the history of the rights to privacy and how that does not include abortions. And, you know, unfortunately, what I believe is the majority of the Supreme Court has basically said that they can define what's a right to privacy. So what's next? That's my question. And that's what I'm very concerned with. And so, you know, we are evaluating all options. I spoke with Attorney General Wilson last Friday, spent some time with him. So, you know, I think that what we need to do is evaluate where we can head and what we can do to deal with this and try to correct this issue and not make rash decisions, but make reasoned decisions. And that's what I think from my discussions with my colleagues in the Senate, that that's where we're headed.
Sure. Justice Kay Hearn, of course, is retiring, and you guys are in the process of choosing her replacement. That will be done during this session. Does this change how you may take a look at potential candidates for the next justice?
It absolutely does. One thing that I've always tried to pride myself on, especially over the last few years, is that we need to focus on justices, just like we focus on United States Supreme Court justices, to make sure that they're reflecting the majority of the beliefs of South Carolina, which is a conservative, originalist type of justice. And so, you know, I think that this, the more and more that the United States Supreme Court rightly takes issues and returns those political issues to the states and the less judicial activism in the United States Supreme Court, the more you're going to see things, issues like this appear before the Supreme Court justices. And we got to make sure that there's restraint, that they believe the Constitution says what it says, and it's not a malleable document that can be expanded. And, you know, and so I think you're going to see us in this next election really closely scrutinize the three candidates that we have before us and try to find the one that we believe is most reflects that originalist type of interpretation of the Constitution and respects the separation of powers, because those are two huge issues in what we expect in our justices in South Carolina Supreme Court.
Mr. Speaker, of course, the General Assembly back in session this week. Governor McMaster, Lieutenant Governor Abbott inaugurated this week. So I guess you could say South Carolina state government is back to work. What are some of the key issues that you have as priorities on the House agenda for this session?
Well, we've got a robust agenda in our Republican caucus, and you know, you're going to see the Senate start off with some with their issues, and also the House will start off with our issues. And you know, the one thing I've tried to pride myself in is collaboration. And so I've been working with the Senate and hopefully pushing agendas that kind of complement one another rather than compete with one another. But I think the first and foremost you're going to see from the South Carolina House is we're going to be dealing with public safety issues, in particular strengthening the penalties for fentanyl crimes. We've all seen fentanyl rise, and there is a loophole where fentanyl is included in the trafficking statutes, and we've got to put the same teeth in fentanyl distribution and fentanyl trafficking as we have with other drugs. And most importantly, this catch and release. I'm really astounded as I see time after time that violent criminals get arrested, they get out on bond, and you have a constitutional right to a bond, but then they reoffend and they continue to reoffend and they continue to be receiving bonds, and that's got to stop. So the General Assembly is going to have to act and try to add some protections for individuals, because these people are unfortunately committing violent crimes against others. And then you're going to see as our budget goes through, there's going to be a number of budget priorities. But as it relates to law enforcement, I think we made a huge step in reforming law enforcement pay last year, increasing it, giving a healthy increase to try to recruit and retain law enforcement officers. And hopefully we'll see a focus on that. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, didn't mean to interrupt.
Oh, I was just going to roll on into other items, but another big item for me is economic development, and economic development takes a number of forms. And one of the first things I did when I was elected as speaker is I formed the Economic Development and Utility Modernization Committee, which has worked feverishly in the off session to try to locate issues and how we can improve and maintain our robust economy we have in this state. And so I think you're going to see us right off the bat. We'll be introducing, hopefully, in a week or so, a lot of bills relating to that. And mainly it's going to center around, at this point, workforce development. We have got to train and equip our students and our future employees with skills to meet this economy. We've had a lot of success in this economy. Record announcement of economic development last year of over $10 billion. And so we're getting into electric batteries, electric vehicles, and we got to have the skilled employees to make those. But also we got a workforce of small businesses and that need assistance. And we got to make sure we got a nimble workforce. We got somebody who's ready to meet the needs. And so you're going to see some concentration on that, and it's going to come in many forms this upcoming session.
Yeah, Mr. Speaker, sounds like you have a busy session planned. I was glad to hear you mention the fentanyl because when I spoke with President Alexander on Friday, that was a key issue for him, too. Of course, it's an issue he has worked on personally the past couple of sessions, introducing a fentanyl-specific drug-induced homicide bill. He says that's going to be at the top of his list over in the Senate. And fentanyl, I mean, it's just a huge problem, so I was glad to hear you mention that. On an issue that's somewhat personal to me, Mr. Speaker, the repeal of the Certificate of Need. In 2021, my good friend and fellow radio host Mike Gallagher and I received identical diagnoses requiring surgery. We both were in a lot of pain. Mike lives in Florida, where they repealed Certificate of Need some years back, and he was able to get his surgery within a matter of days. It took me a couple of weeks, even with my doctor saying that they could do it sooner if they could get access to an operating room. I've never seen an issue quite like this. When I talk about it on our phones, our text lines, our phone lines, with listeners, personal stories come up. The Senate passed the repeal of Certificate of Need quickly last year. We saw it die in the final days of the session. Is that a priority for you? Do you think the House will be able to repeal Certificate of Need this year?
Well, we've been working hard on it in the off session, been talking to the stakeholders, and you know, I think there's general consensus that there needs to be repeal of the Certificate of Need with limited exceptions. Nursing homes, and you know, I think where we're really concerned is in the rural areas right now. We're having some difficulty with rural hospitals closing, and mm-hmm. So you know, and these what we call ambulatory surgical centers are owned, you know, some, you know, start off being owned by physicians or people who are in the healthcare field, but end up in the venture capitalist world at some point, get purchased in doing that. And, you know, the concern is, let's take Orangeburg, for example. Orangeburg right now has a hospital that is in deep trouble. And you have to have a hospital in your communities in order for you to be successful. And the last thing you need is venture capitalists or people coming and setting up ambulatory surgical centers where the hospital is only a standalone emergency room. So we're trying to work through that. How does a full repeal handle our rural health care in Greenville, in Charleston, in Columbia? We don't need Certificate of Need. There's enough people and competition that's good. But, you know, what you worry about is, do you close hospitals? And that's the counter argument that we tried to weigh. We tried to get some resolution on last year. Unfortunately, the clock ran out. But I think we're going to be able to do that this year. And, you know, I'm looking forward to having that debate.
Yeah, well, and thank you, sir. And like I said, I saw this firsthand, experienced it firsthand. And my eyes were open. I don't know that I had ever even knew what Certificate of Need was until it affected me personally. And I do hope that, Mr. Speaker, that you guys can get started on this much earlier and get this done for us in this session. Mr. Speaker, it's a pleasure. I hope we can maybe check in again throughout the session. Majority Leader Davey Hyatt, of course, here in Pickens, he and I are going to do a thing called Majority Monday, where we kind of do a legislative update. I hope that you and I have a chance to catch up again. And thank you again for being at First Monday this week.
Absolutely. I've enjoyed spending time up in Greenville, and I look forward to hopefully speaking with you throughout this session. So love to do that.
Thank you, sir, Mr. Speaker. Be safe, and thanks again for your time.
Thank you for having me.
three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.